Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I should start saying Real Talk with Rachel and Thomas Autry.
I wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah, you come here a lot. So excited to have you, Thomas. Today we are going to be talking about all things catch up, like what we've been up to, what's been happening. There are some fun stories we want to share, things we're doing in our home.
My first time in the new studio.
Welcome.
Same studio.
You've been here before. You just haven't recorded.
I haven't ever recorded in the office, and this has changed a lot, which
isn't
is
sick?
So professional. It's so cool. It's so cool to see the different angles. I also don't really know where to look.
I know we have, like, so
just you obviously, but then we have a screen here that we can see ourselves, and now there's a camera over there.
Yes,
live for the first time.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, I'm very nervous because I normally only ever record just me. Not just me. I have people come on the show,
but it's different when you can be like, I'm going to say that again or whatever.
Yeah. Versus, so we're taking our friends on Instagram behind the scenes, which is a perk of hanging out with us on Instagram. You get to see the things that are happening. If you're here watching on Instagram, say where you're from. And I kind of want to share on the show. That was a tongue twister. Share on the show where you're listening from. I can kind of see the comments. This is perfect. But welcome everyone on
vision.
Instagram and everybody watching on YouTube and then listening in your ear pods, whatever. Just excited for this.
I can tell you're nervous.
I love, like, I don't know. The podcast feels like a secret space for me where I can come and just like word vomit.
Yeah.
It's my online word journal. Yeah. Imagine someone looking over your shoulder as you journaled.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I but then, like, that. As soon I don't as journal you journal a lot, so yeah, I can't
so
really.
I was about to say, Thomas is like, I can't get there with my mind because I never journal. But like, journaling with someone watching you is so much more difficult in my mind than journaling just on your own.
I'm thinking of like a house project while you're watching me do it.
Yeah. Imagine you trying to go for nailing a picture frame into the wall and I'm like micromanaging. It's what it feels like. So anyways, I'm excited our Instagram friends are here just hanging out with us. Behind the scenes is so much fun. Oh my gosh, my hat's crooked. Went for a little Will Smith vibe.
All right. So question.
What's up?
Is the y'all need Jesus like confrontational, right? Like, hey, you need Jesus.
Okay. So for people listening, I'm wearing a hat right now by a girl named Janessa Waite. She is so much fun on Instagram to follow. She's got some cutie merch, including these trucker hats. She had a market booth set up at IF Gathering, which is Jenny Allen's women's conference in Fort Worth, Texas, that me and my girls just went to.
Party.
We might talk about that. It was a blast and a half. But I purchased this hat from Janessa because she had another one that said, he still does miracles. And I really wanted that one. And then it sold out. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to get the one that says, y'all need Jesus. And
didn't Scarlett get that one? Or Emily, someone in your group got it?
Yeah, Emily got it. I think Carla might have gotten it. Several different girls. Abby got it. Anyways, I was like, oh, y'all,
I missed the He Still Does Miracles train.
So anyways, I got the one that said, y'all need Jesus. And it was so funny because as soon as I got it and I started wearing it, I got nervous that it reads wrong.
Yeah.
Does it read wrong?
I was just curious. I know your intent behind why you would wear it, but
I'm saying y'all need Jesus.
For me, like, I'm like, oh.
I know Jesus is offensive.
Like, it's super cute and I love the style of it. I love it on you as like a hat, but I'm like, oh. Right.
So like, I truly think about whenever I have this message on my head where I'm wearing it to, like if I'm in the Starbucks drive-thru and this man sees a hat and says, y'all need Jesus, and he doesn't know Jesus, I can see how that's offensive.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all need Jesus, you know? But in my mind, it reads, y'all need Jesus.
Maybe you should like...
heart, like draw a heart with like, a Sharpie on
like
it.
Like put like a little a heart patch or something
yeah.
on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right there. or like right on the bottom in Sharpie, be like, I mean it in the nicest way. Like something. Because it makes me nervous. It does. So sorry. And for some reason, it's sitting crooked on my head. And I feel like it's total Will Smith vibes, but it's okay. Anyways, speaking of conference.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because it reminded me to talk about If Gathering because how amazing it was. So impactful. So many incredible speakers. We got Christine Kane, Catherine Wolf, Sadie Robertson, Jada Edwards. We got Bianca Olthoff. Thomas is nodding his head like, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing you need to know about
all
Thomas.
These people.
He doesn't journal, he doesn't read, and he doesn't really know much
anything.
About the... That's not true. He doesn't know much about, I don't know how you say it, like the ministry world.
Like, I don't
know
a lot about like specifically the women's ministry world.
Yeah.
Like you tell me a lot of, which a lot of the names are super exciting or speakers or people that you meet right. or have on the pod and stuff like that. But I'm like, that sounds
like,
awesome.
Yeah, babe. What's it from Madagascar? Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. That's how it feels. But anyways, went to If Gathering. It was me plus... I think including me, it was eight of us, I want to say. It was a few girls here from Birmingham. My friend Jamie met us from Mississippi. And then Emily and her girlfriend met us from, or you know what, I take it back. She was supposed to meet us. She wasn't able to come. So Emily drove on her own from Houston down to Dallas. It was so much fun. We shared three hotel rooms. And did like the midnight pizza party.
I know. I tried to help so much with those logistics and it just
Okay. I do feel like I need to say this.
Burned.
So on Instagram, I posted a story that said basically just had a panic attack in the back of an Uber. And people were like, oh my God, are you okay? Yes, we're fine. Long story short, Thomas is trying to be a king. He was trying to be chivalrous, which he is. He didn't have to prove it, but he decided to help out.
I wasn't trying to prove it, but like transportation is kind of my thing.
Yes.
So I was trying to have everything. And one of the things I love about my job and transportation and what I'm able to do for my guests and passengers is just make it to where when they start to finish the transportation piece from like leaving your house to where you're going is set up and just walking through open doors. And so I was trying to do that for you.
Yes.
And it crashed in.
So let me tell you about my panic attack. So what had happened was Thomas, the night before we flew out, decided to make a reservation on Uber. It was on his Uber account. Okay. So he made a reservation on his Uber account for a guy to come pick us up at the Lovefield Airport, which is honestly a hot mess.
Weird airport in general, one. And two, I thought like I had cleared out time with me and the boys to even to just have my phone and have it set up.
This.
Like I knew it was going to be a little bit tricky, but I was ready. If you were able to text me to just make it happen.
So mind you, there is six of us. No, wait, no, there's five of us. Or six.
With bags.
With bags.
Yes.
In an Uber.
Women that love to travel light.
Yeah. We did not travel light. We all have like a suitcase at least. And long story short, the guy came up. We ordered an Uber XL, which is supposed to seat six people, and it did not. It very much did not. It was kind of like four seats plus one cardboard seat in the back, and that still didn't fit bags.
One thing I want to bring up with Uber, because they can technically classify any XL that has a third row, and that's not the case when you're traveling.
Right. No.
It's different than fitting six bodies plus fitting six bodies and having more than like a little in the back for cargo.
A little meep meep. Right. So we had a nursing mom with us and she was trying to pump in the car. We had bags. We had me, and I was just like on the edge for some reason. I guess it was just because I was having to communicate with this Uber driver through Thomas, who's not with us on an
in a random place.
In a random place, and we don't fit in a car. And the guy
hosting your friends.
Hosting my friends. And the guy was kind of rude, and long story short, he could have canceled the trip to be like, hey, we don't fit, but he was determined to not, because I think he was afraid of hurting his score, which we found out it actually wouldn't affect him.
Yeah.
But he refused to cancel the trip for us, which means we were going to get fined like $85, and it freaked me out. Just didn't want to have to fork out $85 for a mistake. My mom calls that life tax. Like when just sometimes you have to fork out the silly money to pay life tax. So didn't want to have to pay life tax. Long story short, there is this sweet guy, like a parking attendant that was there and was watching all of us go down. And you have all these like girl post-travel personalities in an airport, and everyone is like their best version or worst version of themselves at an airport. So all these personalities were into play and trying to get these bags in the car, trying to get us in the car. It just was chaos. This guy comes walking over. He's like, are you? He comes up to me because I think he could tell. I had tears like in my ducts waiting to fall out of my eyes. He said, are you okay? And I said, I am not sure. I'm trying to get him to cancel the trip because we don't fit in his car. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, duh. Have him cancel the trip. I'm like, right. It should be that easy, but it's not. And so I said, would you mind having a conversation with him? And y'all, we had been begging this man to cancel our Uber trip so we could get another Uber trip started for probably, what would you say, 30 minutes?
I was on the phone with the dude like six times.
Yeah.
Just trying to explain.
Like, please help us out here. And he refused. Anyways, this guy asked him once, one time. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, no, props to you, because he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. He starts to get in the car. And Rachel was like, no, I don't feel comfortable with you driving away until I see you cancel on your phone, because he was just going to leave and say that you never showed up.
Well, who knows what he was going to do, but I would like to believe that he was going to be integrous, but just to be
clear. Well, no, you asked him and he was like, I don't know how. You're like, you just told me you were going to do it.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, all this to say, drama for your mama. I had a panic attack in the back of the next Uber we got in, which was an Uber Black. We went bougie, baby. And we got
this
an Uber Black.
It's the only way to guarantee you're going to have more space.
So life tip. Okay. This is the only way to make sure that your Uber will actually fit you plus four other people and your bags. So got an Uber Black. He was so kind. My friends turned around because I was sitting in the way back with my friend that was pumping. And they just looked at me and they're like, you can cry. I was like, okay, good, because I need to. And I just start weeping. And it's just one of those like good cries. Like nothing bad happened. Nothing good happened. You just like, there's so much emotion, overwhelm, travel, fatigue. We were up at like 4:30 a.m. to get out. Like I just needed a good cry. And then my friend Abby handed me some watermelon Sour Patch Kids and we were back, baby. I was like, I'm good now. Let's go. So we ended up getting tacos and then going to the conference. It was perfect day post Uber. Yeah. They also said that Katie said this when my friends that went. She was like, conference Rachel is different. So apparently there's a conference prototype of me walking around out there where I'm just like.
There's a few different prototypes of you that are able to pop up in
and out. Like a DeLulu.
The DeLulu, Rachel.
Rachel.
Conference Rachel, cruise ship Rachel, Disney Rachel.
Yeah.
Theme park Rachel, which is, I guess, the same thing as Disney Rachel. But I just want your people to have a good time.
I love a good time.
And you're able to bring the energy to the party.
I want to facilitate the fun, baby.
A little Energizer Bunny.
Yes, that's exactly it. And so we were up at like midnight and I was just bouncing off the walls. And then we would wake up at 6 a.m. and I'm still bouncing off the walls. And everyone's like, how is it possible that like we wake up at 6 to go to bed at midnight and you're amped? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like my best self. Let's go. It was so much fun.
Everybody else is like, no kids. I want to sleep in.
Yes. Like, everyone's like, woo-hoo! Coffee. I was like, let's go. So fun. We had a blast and then got to fly back home. Thomas and the boys picked me up at the airport. It was so sweet. We've been on a lot of travels, or we're about to go on a lot of travels.
Have been.
About to. Yeah, our travel schedule's funky. Y'all pray.
Yeah.
So Dallas kind of was the kickoff trip. Well, I guess technically San Francisco was the kickoff trip.
True. That was random, unprompted, or I guess not
planned.
The
week before I went to Dallas for IF gathering, Thomas got a word that he was able to bring me on a work trip.
Yeah. so thankful and blessed for
grandparents.
My new gig.
Oh, yes.
And grandparents.
Gig and grandparents.
The new gig has the ability sometimes when we have a not full airplane to bring spouses, which is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And they basically told us that, hey, last minute, if you want to bring your wife, we're keeping you for a long weekend. So come on. And yeah. I was like, babe, we've got to make
we
this
gotta
happen.
We got to go.
So
that was the trip that you saw, what we took to San Francisco. I just got to hop in the plane, bop on over to San Fran. It was so much fun. It was kind of dreary most of the time that we were there. We did bike across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yep.
Magical. That was probably one of my favorite things we did.
Yeah, for sure.
We ate at Chinatown.
Where is that place we went? We biked
Sausalito.
From the financial district, basically like Chinatown, to Sausalito. We were on e-bikes, and that was outside the service area for the e-bike. So my bike died, like, on a hill.
On a mountain.
And so then I got to coast down into Sausalito, but yeah. Then my bike was dead.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's another.
And the bike was a Lyft bike. So we got beef with Uber and Lyft right now. Like, customer service
also,
about a year from
when
the
you have an e-bike that dies, it's harder to bike than a normal bike.
100%. Because at first I was biking on a e-bike that was dead.
Yeah, and you had to go.
And Thomas was like, this is so fun. And I just was like, my beating sweat. I said, this can't be right. This cannot be right.
Yeah, so then we switched bikes. I was like, oh.
Right. That was so fun. We ate in Chinatown at the place that we've always been. It's called Zhao.
That we've been to one time before.
Right. No, well, I've eaten there several
times.
You
went there back a couple times.
So anytime I go to San Francisco, I love this one Chinese restaurant in Chinatown. It is super authentic. Like, the menu is in both English and Chinese. They're amazing. It's called Zhao Dumpling House.
Yes.
House of Dumplings.
X-I-O, X-I-U, X-I-O.
XIAO, like whatever. Yeah.
Dumpling House.
Mm-hmm. You should go. It's so good. We had that. We went and just walked around. We went to a saloon and we danced. That was so fun.
Got to dance with some of my work peeps, which was fun.
And when we say dance, I feel like this means something different to everybody. Like, when you dance at a bar, which is what we did.
Yeah.
It was like swing dancing.
Yeah.
Not
there was a fun live
clubbing.
Music and yes. We were able to dance, yes. Which we hadn't been able to do in a while.
It was really fun. So yeah, San Francisco was a blast, went to Dallas, and now we're about to go. Oh, I guess. Yeah. All of us are going back to South Carolina. I'm hanging out in Charleston, going to my friend Jess's retreat. Jess Connolly. We love her. We know her. She's the best. And then after that, come back home. My publisher comes into town to help me storyboard this book that
I'm
writing.
Which San Francisco was also kind of like a fun celebration time that we got to get set aside, because that was when you signed your contract.
That's a true story.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but.
No, you can. You can. Yeah, I have a video of it. Now. The video on Instagram was me signing my contract in San Francisco. It was really magical. So then my publisher or my editor, excuse me, is coming to Birmingham, help me storyboard the book. Maddox's birthday party. Then I pack up and I go to a beautiful ranch in Colorado called Lost Valley Ranch. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that retreat as well.
Yeah.
And then from there, coming back home, unpacking, repacking, and going to the Bahamas.
That's another work trip. Big
another work trip that I get to go on.
She gets to come on, woo! Which is super great.
Ooh, I'm like, bring your wife to work day.
Yeah.
Times eight. I get to be on a week-long trip with y'all. Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah. This is my first week-long trip with them, period. And then also it's like, this is a super fun travel season. But it's a lot of work stuff for you and really cool favor and open doors that you're able to walk into.
Mm-hmm, 100%. I was about to not be able to walk through that one though.
Because
I lost my passport. I should say we lost my passport.
We definitely did.
It is a shared burden
1,000%.
There. We lost my passport. I posted about it on Instagram because I kind of was at the point of desperation. Like, I'm going to invite y'all into prayer, invite you into my home to help me find it, and also invite you into my DMs for advice. And y'all were so kind and helped so much. Yeah. So, I mean, people literally like set us up with senators. Y'all sent contacts. You sent me how to expedite it.
It was one of those things where like in your mind, you're like, I know I've held this thing recently.
Yes.
I can see it in my brain. I just don't know like the container it's in. Like, I don't know where that is currently.
Where did you find it?
So in one of our, we have this like bag that has a lot of like important papers, and I could see it in my brain, but we just are doing like a garage overhaul. And so there's some stuff that's in the garage. There's some stuff that's in like other parts of the house. And then there's some stuff that is in a storage unit in order to get the bulk of most of our garage out of the way so that we can do a retrofit. Cause that I'm super excited about, but
yes,
I use my passport often and often. Anyways, and normally I keep our passports together, and I think that they were there together when I started traveling a lot more with AirMed. Mine came out a lot, and I think we used the passport for like a military
like,
thing,
or like closing or a driver, on our old house or
driving license, or maybe it was closing on the house. I don't know, but you're right. It might have been. So it got put in our like important papers bag, and that bag, when we like took it out of the garage, got put in like a random spot. So found it yesterday.
Praise
huge
God.
Weight
praise God
lifted off of our shoulders, because we were
scrushing. I mean you hate to like throw up frivolous prayers, which, by the way, let me add theologically, like,
it's not a thing.
Not a thing. There's no such thing as too small or too big of a prayer. Okay. God cares about small things too. Just want to make sure I had that on record. But I did feel silly being like in tears and prayer, being like, God, please find my passport so I can go to the Bahamas. You know, I just was like, this feels weird. I was like, Lord, please, I need my passport for the Bahamas.
And it sounds silly. And I feel like this goes back to our time at JH Ranch, if you're listening and know what JH Ranch is. But there's this whole like problem solving. Golly, I cannot talk today.
Okay, welcome.
Problem solving method and things that we teach high schoolers and out in the wilderness and stuff like that. That's but I feel like that has really like impacted us, that we're able to little stuff like that. Like, Lord, please just call to memory where I've seen that. Help me find this, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there's so many times that that's actually been a thing. Yeah, your necklace,
my necklace,
passport, like so many different little things that just are found.
Yeah. I mean, who knows why, right? Like, there's a mystery to who God is and what he's doing in our life. But I would like to think that sometimes if we were to find the passport and we hadn't prayed about it, we would have been like, look at us, you know, I was going to find it. Yeah. But because we were in a moment of a bit of a desperation, like, hey, Lord, like, you've got to show up. Like he does many times in our life where we're like, hey, Lord, like, you have to show up. There's no other way around this other than you being a part of it. God's like, okay, like, cool beans. I would love to be a part of that with you.
Yeah.
And I love that you see me needed for this circumstance.
Because the whole day prior, I tried to do it on my own, like, tore apart the house, went to the storage unit, tore apart that, looking in boxes, all sorts of different stuff, went through every backpack I could find because I thought that I had stuck it with some of my travel stuff or whatever. And then yesterday I got home and I was super stressed because now we're trying to have to find all the different paperwork to get a replacement and all that. And I was like, goodness gracious, Lord, please just call to memory where this could be, because I know it's in our house somewhere. Yeah. I had at least deciphered that.
Yeah.
And but I was changing clothes.
Yeah.
And he literally just gave me a reminder of like what bag it's in and like the two places it could be. I went to both places, opened up a door, saw the bag. And as soon as I saw the bag, I knew it was in there. And I opened it up and it was the first thing I saw.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, because I think like when we pray about something and we center ourselves on God, you've got to come through for me. It's easier in my heart, in my mind, at least, to be able to give him the credit if/when it happens rather than me doing it on my own.
Yeah.
Coming through for myself, air quotes, and then realizing it actually wasn't me in the beginning. It was God's mercy and kindness in my life reflecting in my circumstance. So,
which I think is a big part of what I'm learning right now. I think this is a season where I've been able to slow down and be content for a first time in a really long time. But I've put a lot of pressure on myself for the trajectory of how I'm able to grow my career and support our family and make the right moves in networking and have the right conversations and say yes to different opportunities. And I feel like I'm very content in the opportunity that I have right now, which I feel like one of the reasons why I am is because I only have this opportunity because of the Lord.
True.
You know, I didn't bootstrap my way into this new job. Mm-hmm. The Lord had a conversation through one of my friends that ended up turning out to be a great benefit. But there's still a big pull inside of me to keep up with the Joneses, to try and fight for the next rung on the ladder, or to go where like finances are or whatever. And so I feel like I, for the first time in a while, am trying to remove myself from the situation because I'm very like, I can do it on my own.
Sometimes we can get in our own way when we do that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. So contentment and trust in the Lord and a lot of things is
so good.
Big for me right now.
So good.
Should be big for me all the time, but it's not always like that.
It's okay. Thanks for being real.
Yeah.
Real talk, baby.
Mm-hmm. With Rachel and Thomas.
Yeah, with Rachel and Thomas Autry. This is going to be very random, but it's something that I've like been thinking through. Mm-hmm. So last night, I think you know this, we talked about it, but like every time I went to go to fall asleep, I'd have another thought that I had to write down or mm-hmm. I was going to forget. One of them was a question that I need to figure out. I brought my Bible. I gotta figure this out. And we're live on Instagram, so we're recording a podcast. It's literally gonna be live. Whatever you say, Canna, will be used against you. I'm just kidding. Will you
can
help?
You read those comments?
No, there's not comments. There's just people. There's okay. People joining. Can you help me though? Listen, there is a story. I feel like such a newbie. I'm no biblical scholar, but I like to think that I know my Bible. So I was recording with Ellie Holcomb. It just came out today. The day that we're recording this, our conversation. And I brought up the story in the gospel where Jesus fed the thousands. How many thousands did Jesus feed? Just make sure I get this right.
I mean, the typical story here is 5,000.
Right.
But he didn't only do it just once.
He did it multiple times.
Yes.
So I go to talk about the story and I had this like massive like moment where I saw 5,000 and then I remember saying 4,000 in the episode. And then whenever I go to read it on the episode, it said 5,000. So I was going back and forth like 12 different times. Okay. Question. Which one is it that whenever the apostles or not the apostles, sorry, the disciples came back from their ministry that
I think it's in Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's Mark 8, but what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sorry.
Y'all, that is the most Rachel thing I think could possibly have just happened.
What did I do?
You have so many things in your life that are like, Rachel, take a right. Okay, right. Or I need to go to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You repeat stuff like you
put what's in my head out loud.
You always say it out loud, but you hold on to like, I don't know, I want this to sound weird, like the elementary way of like how to get to something, but like it is so foundational that it never leaves you. Oh, there's so many explanations in my head, but like if it's being thought by Rachel, a lot of times it comes out
by Rachel
to
yeah.
the fact that she was like, oh yeah, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. Yeah. So on brand
that
for you.
Funny. Okay. So the story, I'm pretty sure this is it, but I don't think it is. Now I'm second guessing everything in my life. I just have the stories mixed up, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Admitting defeat. So in Mark 6 is when Bible scholars are going to be like shaking their head like, girl.
I didn't get the memo. I should have brought my Bible.
That's okay. It's okay. This is just for quick reading.
I didn't know we were doing Bible drills in this episode.
Scott Dinkins, our high school youth group leader that we met, and he's going to be like, golly. All right. Yeah. So Mark 6, just so if people are in the same boat as me, get it? Boat.
We're not talking about that story.
So disciples went on a boat to a solitary place. And people recognized them, so they ran on foot, all the towns, to go find them. This is when Jesus fed them with 5 loaves, 2 fish. And that was 5,000.
Okay.
Then he did it again. He fed another people after he did another healing in Mark 8. And that was 4,000. So anyways,
So basically, you were not wrong.
I was neither right nor wrong. Okay. I was both. And I like corrected myself so many times. I don't remember where I landed.
Yeah.
I just needed people to know. Very confused.
But you'll, but it's okay. Oh wait, you already know that.
So if anyone wants to send me to seminary, that'd be great. Thank you. not kidding. Actually putting that out there.
Yeah.
what was I going to say? I just need to make sure I got that right because it was like stumping me, literally keeping me up last night. I had to write it in my notes app on my phone.
That you want to know which story is where?
Yeah, I was like,
or
did
just
I say
if there
it
is
or...
a 4,000 one, or
yeah, I was yeah. like, where did I get these ideas from? And there's both a 4 and 5,000. I was really confused. Yeah. We're good, people. We're good, peeps. What else are we doing? So we're traveling a lot, but what are we doing at home? Like, what are some things that we're doing? It could be watching, reading, listening to rhythms we have. Like,
we
tell
have
us about
a big
home life
guilty pleasure right now.
Big guilty pleasure. Oh, I feel weird talking about it.
I don't
it,
even
you
know if I want to mention it.
It's real talk. We're going there. You say it.
I don't know if I can say it because my proverbial man card might be revoked. But it's fun
it's
to like,
those, like
talk about
you see,
with
you
each
know the
other.
Memes on Instagram where it's like watching my show that my husband thinks is dumb and then he ends up getting sucked in.
Yeah.
This
it's
is
like
what
when
I
you made me
like
watch The Bachelor.
Yes. But this is
But
different.
We're kind of done with The Bachelor.
Yeah,
I feel
I'm
like.
Done. Bachelor. No. Yeah.
We're whole another subject. But right now, we may or may not have been watching the current season of Love is Blind. It's possible. I mean,
yo, it's juicy. I feel like I would love to talk to any of my like therapy friends to be like, let's diagnose some of these people because like I know that they I do know this fun fact, they have to pass a psychological exam before being on the show.
Yeah.
And to some of them, I question how.
No.
Not in like a weird way, but there's a lot of
I mean,
people
a lot
that
is
have,
exposed
like,
when you're trying to fall in love, be on television with someone that you've only met for 2 weeks. Like, that's just going to be a lot of...
That's a part of the experiment.
There's a lot of carnage there.
There's a lot of the experiment. Always wild. And then to see all the people on Instagram Reels, like, rehash some of the scenes is so funny. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of those?
No.
It's so funny. Well, now that we've talked about it, you will. Because you're funny.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love is blind.
Is there a favorite? And it was fun. Love is blind, love is blind, love is blind. I mean, we don't recommend the show.
No, absolutely not.
This is not
and it's
us.
Not,
we're
not
endorsing
think,
the show.
I don't
show.
Think that it's going to be.
We were curious. Curiosity killed the cat, for yeah. sure.
I think it was just a fun, like, experiment. It's fun to watch. For me, at least, it was fun to watch how intentional people got when they didn't have their phones.
Yeah.
How are they going to communicate through a wall when you're not just sitting there looking at each other? Or like,
what questions are you asking to get
you,
to know
like,
someone?
Like, you know, try and make out with me all the time. It's like, how do we take a break from that?
That
and
was a joke.
Just...
People don't know your dry humor. Whatever.
How do we, like, I don't know. It was fun. Like, they were able to paint in each other's rooms or they like had an activity together. I just thought it was kind of cool
really
to
cute.
Like... And seeing how seriously a lot of the people took about what type of questions they asked. Like, oh, that's a, like, how do you figure out what questions you're going to ask to figure out who someone is in a week and you've never met them? You can't look at their body language. You can't see their face. You can't.
Right. I'm like, what kind of shoe game do you have? What kind, you know, like, what do you typically wear? What's your, you know, not that
like
it matters that much, but I feel
like
that does reflect someone's personality a ton.
Yeah, we're like, oh, that was a
do you wear sandals?
Question. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. The joke.
Do you wear socks
do you,
with sandals?
Do you wear rainbows at Thomas Autry?
Okay. Listen, there's nothing wrong with rainbows. I'm just going to put it out there.
I did buy you the rainbows that you have. So
yes, it's true.
I
and
caved.
There's nothing wrong with like some cool dad Crocs. Next subject.
Next subject. Moving on. I'm not even giving that any airtime. My mind. Mm-hmm. All I can think of is Crocs right now.
You're stuck.
I'm stuck in the Crocs.
You're also stuck with me.
I think that's really what is taking up a lot of our time right now. And it's been sweet. We've loved it. Lots of outside time because, praise God, spring is coming in Birmingham. Lots of music in our house. Lots of dance parties. Maddox's new favorite thing is to be introduced on his bike.
Have we talked about this yet
no,
on the pod?
No.
Or have
so,
you?
Mm-mm.
It's so fun.
So he has a bike, like a training bike. Doesn't have training wheels. It's like a, what is it called? Strider bike.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he'll be like hide
balance
in the
bike.
Playroom. Yeah, balance bike. He'll hide in the playroom and then he'll say like, introduce me. And so we turn on Eye of the Tiger.
Mama, dada, do introducing song.
Yeah. He goes, like, do the introduce me. I'm like, got it. So he hides in the playroom. We play Eye of the Tiger on Google Home. And then we introduce him. We literally say, introducing Maddox Autry or something like that. And he comes around the corner just hype. Like,
it's
never
so
seen a kid
fun.
So happy. It is so fun.
I feel like we're kind of creating a monster though.
Yes. I'm like, can we also, like, I want to balance out the performer. Like,
yeah.
buddy, it's not about being introduced. Like, you got this. It's so fun. But I'm like, oh, Lord. What?
We'll get there when we get there.
He's going to have, like, we're going to pray against a complex is what I'm saying. Like, just don't.
Yeah, he's going to love baseball because he's going to get to pick up a walk-up song.
Exactly. Oh, we have those two in the backyard. Don't play.
That's true.
We have walk-up songs too in the backyard. Okay, I want to end this with two questions. Number one, we have a question. I can see it. See that red dot on Instagram Live? That red dot means that someone asked us a question.
Should I go push it?
Oh, no, I'll do it.
This is unprecedented in the Real Talk podcast world.
One of the questions is, Thomas, tell us about male friendships. What are your, just like, if you could give us a paragraph about what your male friendships look like. How do you keep them healthy? How do you prioritize them? All the things.
So I feel like a lot of my guy friendships are centered around common interests. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of like deep conversation or there's a lot of like banter, picking on each other or talking about random stuff that we're all interested in and having questions. And like, for example, I was truck shopping and talking to all my friends that I know love trucks and have opinions and talking about that. But at the same time, in order to get consistent quality, life-giving relationships, those are require for men just as much work as you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. This past month
for girls. Yeah.
So, and this is something that I need to do more of. But like there's a men's Bible study at church that I could easily be going to and finding, but, I think there's that awkward conversation. If you know that there's men, either above you or same age or life experience or whatever that are like-minded that also would desire the same thing, you would think there's that awkward conversation of like, hey, can we start meeting up together and being consistent and challenging each other? I had that recently with our small group leader. Mm-hmm. And so we have been getting coffee and chatting about different things and figuring out the things we want with each other and how we can hold each other accountable. So that doesn't happen like crazy often for me. Like I have those people that are in and out of my like texts all the time, but you know, every few weeks I go get coffee, with my close friends. But for us, I think it's like, you may like to play golf or have hobbies or talk about something, or maybe you're a finance guy and y'all talk about like stocks and stuff. Like some of my friends do that. Yeah. And are really into all that, which I wish I was, but, and so I think it's a lot centered around common interests, but I think it looks different.
It totally looks different. I don't know if
that helps any.
Well, because someone said, I think it was you one time we were sitting on a marriage panel, maybe it was you, and you're like, guys need shoulder to shoulder and girls need face to face.
Yeah.
Was that you? Maybe not.
I don't know if but I like said guys, that, but I think we've like talked about that idea before.
Guys just need to hang, need to relax, need to like play. And then girls love the face-to-face. And face-to-face is really, I mean, I'm biased, but I think that's where you get a lot of good like intimate conversation and you can go deep and feel like socially, emotionally connected in what a lot of us women crave in friendship. But guys, when they play together, they end up talking about stuff, but
a lot of
things like end up being banter, but that's how you get guys to talk. Guys are, I feel like rarely do you go to like coffee with
go do things, common interests. And like, we just bop in and out of conversations. There's not a long strand of different things or,
Mm-hmm. So I guess like male relationships look completely different. So don't hold them to your girly standards, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Last question, because I literally do got to go. I have another interview. Yeah. I know. I do. I could talk to you all day. What is something that you are loving these days that you have to share with people?
I love these shoes.
Those are really cool shoes.
They make me happy when I wear them.
Yeah.
And
what are they though? They're high top Nike Blazers.
Yeah, they can see them.
Well, some people listening can't see them.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, high top Nikes. Bought them in New York with Rachel. We were on our way to go watch Back to the Future musical. And this is, if you know Back to the Future, this is pretty on brand.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're fun, colorful. I'm all into color right now. Color sneaks. Oh, it's funny I say that because I'm wearing a white top and black jeans. That's annoying. But like normally I'm wearing color now. Color on my plate, color in my closet, color in my home. We're adding it all. It's going to be so much fun. And your shoes are doing it. Yes. Yeah.
The other thing I'm loving, which is kind of sappy.
What?
But with the whole contentment piece, I feel like I've always been go, go, go and like trying to do different things, but I've really just loved my days at home with the boys and time just me when you're in Dallas or whatever, just like having conversations and watching Ollie in so many different phases so fast.
Yeah.
It's just been sweet to be like where I am, like here, like where I am planted and content and having a good time with you and my boys.
That's so sweet. I'll take it. I love that answer. Selfishly. Well, Thomas Autry, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
And thanks to our friends on podcast, YouTube, Instagram, hanging out with us and listening too. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.